Today, as we come to the table,
I read a new Barna research this week of American Christian adults that said that almost 60% no longer believe in Satan or the demonic realm. But they believe that evil is nothing more than a force, and Satan is just symbolic of that darkness that's out there. Now, guys, let me say this. If you don't believe that you're fighting an enemy, you have no chance whatsoever. You certainly can't defend against that enemy. You certainly aren't going to be looking for the tactics of that enemy. If you don't believe the enemy even exists, you're going to be a sitting duck.
Pastor Mark is teaching about the enemy today. It's important to know our enemy so we can know where and what the fight is. We need to know our enemy is real and begin to understand his tactics so that we can be effective warriors for the kingdom. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Like Pastor Mark says, if we don't believe the enemy exists and understand his battle plan, we are going to be sitting ducks. Listen in today for the game plan. You'll learn who the enemy is and how he works. You'll learn all about the players he's got on his team and how to defeat them. This war is real, and our enemy is out to kill you. Get your armor on and get into the war. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 16 as he begins his message, Demonic Tactics and Opposition.
Acts chapter 16, as we look today in verses 16 through 24, only a section here of 16, but a lot of stuff to look at. Why don't we read it together and then ask God just to really pour out his spirit in prayer and speak to our hearts today. Notice in 16:16, now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us who brought her master's profit from fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." And she did this for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they were laid with many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanded the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Let's pray. Father, today as we look at the opposition of the demonic realm, it is not one of our more pleasant subjects that we as believers like to look at or talk about, but it is a reality of what we face as your children. And so, Lord, I pray that as we look at this passage and as we see the demonic opposition that Paul and the others that were traveling with him faced, Lord, help us to realize we're going to face the same opposition. And not just to know that we're going to face it, but to recognize the tactics and the approach of the enemy so that when we see it, we know how to deal with it. Lord, teach us to learn to recognize the attack of the enemy. Some of us are being attacked right now by the demonic realm and don't even know it. We might think we're just being distracted by someone two rows over or a thought from what's going to be happening tomorrow, but we don't realize that the demonic realm is trying to get our attention away from your word and away from the move of the Spirit. Teach us, Lord, to recognize the battle that's going on. Teach us, Lord, to be able to fight that battle and to walk in the victory that you've given us through your sacrifice on the cross. So, Lord, I pray now you pour out your spirit on us. I pray you would teach us. And I thank you, Lord, for this time just to get into your word. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, today we look at demonic tactics and opposition. Again, this is not one of the most pleasant subjects. We'd like to talk more about the cross and the love of the Lord. But the bottom line is we are in a spiritual battle. And I've noticed in my short Christian walk, there are two types of Christians, for the most part, in categories when it comes to spiritual warfare. there are those who recognize that they are in a spiritual battle. And because they recognize they're in a spiritual battle, they put on the full armor of God. They spend time in the Word, they spend time in prayer, and they go to battle. But then there's the other, I'll almost call it the hapless, unknowing or unseeing or unrecognizing Christian who just gets saved and then lives their life, and they get beaten to death by the demonic realm. Why? Because when you give your life to Jesus Christ, guess what? You're in the army. That's it. You're in. There's no other, you know, you're there. You're thrown on the battlefield, and there's no negotiations. It's kind of like you're standing there one day at the beach and you've got your little umbrella and your drink and you're saying, life's good. Somebody says, you know about Jesus? And you say, Les, yeah, I mean, I don't know him, but I heard about him. Would you like to receive him? Yes, I'd like to receive him. And suddenly you're thrown from the beach to the battlefield. And as you're on the beach, you're standing there. If you're still there in your swimsuit with your little drink and your umbrella on it, you're going to be dodging bullets and you're going to get hurt real quick. Now, I'm not trying to scare you from becoming a Christian, but at the same time, I want you to realize we're on a battlefield. There's a war going on, and whether you're ready or not, remember the old thing, ready or not, here I come? That's what it's like for the demonic realm. Ready or not, here I come. But Mark, didn't the demonic realm mess with me before I gave my life to the Lord? Yes, but you were not a threat. There wasn't much to mess with. You were going along with the gang. You were part of the crew. Everybody loved each other. You had arms wrapped around each other. The party was on, right? Now you've given your life to the Lord, and you are the enemy now. Now you're the target. You're the one that's got to be silenced. You're the one that's got to be removed. You're the one that's got to be dealt with, and they will work relentlessly day and night to do it and look for your weaknesses to expose them. What does that mean? Well, that doesn't mean that we freak out and all run with our arms in the air, right? But it does mean we need to be in the Word and we need to be in prayer, and guys, we need to understand our enemy. Now, if I join the army and I go to battle, I would want my leaders and my captains and all those that were leading it to teach me about the enemy. I'd want to know how to use my weapons. I want to know what kind of armor I need to have on, and I would want to know what to expect from the enemy. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today. We're going to see the enemy attacking Paul because he's being successful in Philippi. He and his traveling band of believers, if you will. And so we're going to see the enemy come against them and try to shut them up and try to stop them. But what we have to realize is the same thing is going to happen to us if we step out in the name of the Lord. Now, when you go out to share the Lord, you're going to see the opposition of the enemy in many forms. But here's the first thing that I've got to emphasize, and I read something this week that blew me away. Number one, you've got to believe that the demonic realm is real before you can fight it. Is everybody with me? Some of you are going, yes, I know, and probably most of you, yes, yes. There may be some of you in here, if these statistics are right, that are saying, I don't know about that. Why do I say that? Because I read a new Barna research this week of American Christian adults that said that almost 60% no longer believe in Satan or the demonic realm. But they believe that evil is nothing more than a force, and Satan is just symbolic of that darkness that's out there. Now, guys, let me say this. If you don't believe that you're fighting an enemy, you have no chance whatsoever. You certainly can't defend against that enemy. You certainly aren't going to be looking for the tactics of that enemy. If you don't believe the enemy even exists, you're going to be a sitting duck. Now, I have to say, if I was going to battle, I would like to know that those that I'm fighting didn't believe in me. Because then I would just walk right into the middle of their camp, look around, and open fire. And a lot of believers today, that's exactly what the enemy does. He walks right in the middle of the camp, and since many Christians don't even believe in the demonic realm anymore, he opens fire and mows down as many as he can. And by the time we figure it out, we're so beaten up and we're so wounded, we don't even feel like fighting anymore. Here is my heart today. Not to discourage you and make it seem like the battle is so great and Satan and the demonic realm is so strong. They're defeated. They were defeated at the cross. That's the first thing Satan doesn't want you to know, is that if you'll walk in the authority God's given, he's defeated. You just simply have to take ground. That's all you have to do. Take ground. But the bottom line is, if I don't warn you and we aren't warned about the demonic realm being real and believing in the demonic realm, then we're not going to have anything to fight with. Again, the Barna research, and I quote, says, adult Christians in America said this, they do not believe that Satan is a living being but is a symbol of evil, end quote. Tragic. Tragic for us. Good going for Satan. Great job. If he can convince us that he's nothing but a little guy at Halloween in a little red suit and a pitchfork, then he's doing good, and we're going to be walking in defeat on a regular basis. You know, it's interesting. Jesus certainly believed in Satan in the demonic realm. Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That is when he was cast out. He didn't say something evil symbolically came down. He didn't say, you know, I saw Satan fall like lightning. As a matter of fact, Jesus would run into the demonic realm and they would talk to him. He said, what's your name? And the demons, hey, we're many, we're legion. Remember, he cast him into the swine. This was not a psychological condition. It was not a force. It was not some symbol of evil. They are real beings that are called demons. And when Satan was cast out of heaven, a third of the angels went with him. And the Bible says, now they roam the earth, wreaking havoc on the earth and on believers' lives and deceiving the world, and now apparently even deceiving a lot of believers. We guys have got to know the Word of God, and we've got to believe in our enemy even as we believe in the Lord, so we know how to fight against the enemy. That's our only chance if we're going to win this battle. Now, last time where we left off, remember we saw Paul and his crew, they're traveling in Acts. They'd gone to Philippi. They'd come to Lydia, who was with all the women because there were no men at that time for a synagogue there in Philippi. Remember, Caesar had run all of the Jews or most of them out of the Roman regions because they saw them as religious troublemakers. But Lydia and some others were there. They were down by the river. Paul gives the gospel to them, this maker of purple, Lydia, and those that are with her. And she, again, gives her life to the Lord. They invite Paul and Silas and those guys back to her home. And Paul begins a ministry in Philippi. Now, whenever Satan sees you begin a ministry, and he sees especially people give their life to the Lord, it's game on. And so when Paul led Lydia and her family to the Lord, and now Paul begins every day to go out into the streets and share, and go into the synagogues on the weekend and share, we're going to see that he was doing street witnessing, because it tells us that he went out, and for many days this woman followed him as they were going to prayer. We know that he was doing both in the temple and outside, or there was no synagogue, so basically he was going to prayer, probably at the river and among the people, and then sharing. We see the enemy says, all right, you've already started this, now I'm in, and we're going to stop this thing. And that's where we take up in verse 16. So notice this, it says, now it happened as they went to prayer. Underline that if you're an underliner, that a certain slave girl possessed of a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Now let's get into the tactics of the enemy. This verse is loaded. First of all, notice the very first tactic of the enemy to oppose us is what? As we go to what? Ever notice that? Ever notice when you try to set prayer time aside, everything begins to happen? Why do you think Jesus went out to the desert to pray? It says he ran off into the desert. He had to get rid of the cell phone, Facebook, Twitter. He had to put down the emails. And of course, I'm being facetious, but you get my joke. He could never hear God. He could never spend time with God. He had to get away and he had to set time aside. I will meet with God. And I'm going to get away from all the distractions so I can meet with God. And no doubt when the Lord was trying to go meet with God, the enemy was trying to stop him. And he does the same thing to us. As they were going to prayer, the enemy stirs up opposition. Hey, stop them. I don't like prayer. Because prayer is where they get victory and prayer is where I'm defeated. So I've got to stop this. So as they went, the first thing you need to notice there. Secondly, notice it says she was a slave with a spirit of divination. Now, I know literally she was a slave of these masters, and they owned her, if you will. But what a picture this is of the person who's entrapped by the demonic realm. They're a slave to the enemy. They're not free. And no doubt Satan felt threatened by the fact that Paul and his band were going to pray, because it might even be that that woman would be set free. And knowing that woman might be set free, what better way than to make it look like she already was free? And what do I mean by that? We're going to see in just a moment, she's proclaiming the truth of the Bible. These are the servants of the Most High God. It would appear probably to some on the outside, no need to even share the gospel with her. She knows the Lord. She was demon possessed. The demons use scripture. You better believe it. Even Satan in the wilderness with Jesus, he used scripture, but he twisted it and he perverted it. And so now we see that she was a slave, not only to those men on earth, but a slave to the demonic realm. And actually the Bible says in the book of 1 John, as well as in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the entire world is under the sway of the evil one. So really before Jesus Christ, everyone is a slave. And how symbolic it is of this demon-possessed girl who was in slavery. God sends now Paul and those with the gospel to release them from slavery. And the enemy begins to oppose. Again, you can see how that always is how it happens when we go out with the gospel. Now, again, notice next, it says she brought them much money with her fortune telling. Again, apparently they were making a fortune with her fortune telling. Now, why would that be? Guys, there's still a market for it today. Now, I don't necessarily see the doors being beaten down here at Madam Day's on the way to the airport, okay? But there are a lot of people that watch these cable shows, like Long Island Medium or whatever. And what is attractive about that? Here's what's attractive about that. Number one, people want to know the future. And number two, people like the supernatural, especially the unbeliever. They like the supernatural. And guys, this is where many people are trapped by this kind of deception. Why? Because there is some realness to that. It really is supernatural to a degree. Now, do I believe she can tell the future and knows all these things and that's on whatever? No. The Bible tells us what it is. The Bible says it's demonic. It's called familiar spirits. And even as God can tell us things, the demonic realm can tell other people certain things. Now, it's limited. And it depends on how in tune that person is with the demonic realm, what they can really hear and what they can't hear. But certainly they can tell some people things about their life and about their family that no one would know. Oh, right? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who knows? The demonic realm knows, don't they? And if they've got a willing partner and a willing ear, all they have to do is tell her. She goes, I'm getting something like you had a bad relationship with your father. This is real. Yeah, it is real. But it's real demonic. And you're being played like a fiddle. Now, we have got to recognize this as believers because the Bible says in the last days there's going to be more and more deception. And it says that people are going to believe the deception of the enemy. And get this, the enemy's even going to have power to do things like call down lightning from heaven. When the Antichrist and the false prophet show up, they're going to be calling down lightning from heaven. Think about that. If you take somebody who doesn't know that the demonic realm has that power, or you take people who don't even believe in the demonic realm. Look, if 60% of the church in America, if that Barna research is right, and 60% of the church in America are those who claim to be, don't believe in demons, what do you think the world's like? Satan has an open door just to walk into our nation and show us any sign and wonder, and the whole nation just be bowed down and go, wow, this is real, and you are truly from some other planet or from heaven or something. We're ready to follow you. What do we need to do? And that's exactly what Satan is setting up for the Antichrist in this world. People are going to believe he's going to have real supernatural power, guys. It isn't going to be a trick. It isn't going to be a joke. It's going to be real. But if you don't know that it's not real demonic, you're going to be sucked in with everybody else. Now, hopefully, if you're a believer, you're going to be out of here before that. But the bottom line is that some of this stuff is legitimate, and we're being set up in the last days. A lot of people say, well, what about ghosts, Mark? Are ghosts real? Ghosts aren't real. I can say that on the authority of God's word. The Bible says it's appointed once to die and then the judgment. That means you're appointed once to die and then you're just locked up until judgment and you go to be with the Lord if you know the Lord, one of the two places. But the bottom line is you can't come back and, you know, haunt people. But Mark, it's real. These things happen. I do believe some of that is real, okay? I believe some people have seen spiritual apparitions. I believe people have heard. I believe real things have been knocked off of cabinets. I've seen it happen over the ministry in the years when we are doing certain things in the ministry. I know it's real. God has shown me the demonic realm. I have no problem with it, but it's not a ghost. Again, it's not Uncle Harry. It's a fallen angel from heaven who's appearing as who? Uncle Harry. It's demonic. And the Bible's clear, but again, our society is deceived. And when I watch what's going on cable TV, and I know how much TV everyone watches, some of you here today might even have already been sucked into that. We need to know the Word of God. We need to understand what God says and has God's perspective on this. Again, Paul knew this, and so when this woman shows up, she has this spirit of divination. Notice what happens in verse 17. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation." Now, it's interesting here. Notice, first of all, about this woman, what she's saying about them is true. She wasn't saying, these are false teachers. These men are evil. They're causing trouble to our city. Stay away from these men. She's going, hey, these are servants of God. These are great guys. These are servants of the Most High. Now, why do I point that out? Because I want you to recognize that I believe some of the most effective use of the enemy is not necessarily avoiding all truth, but the way that the truth is presented. Note that. Mark, what do you mean? Glad you asked. The word cried here literally is the sound that a crow makes when it calls on that light pole out there. You walk in and you're, you know how they do? You want to just, well, I'm just going to say you want to shoot them. But anyway, you want to get rid of them, right? The people who want to shoot them go, yeah. And those of you that are animal, no, don't shoot the little birdie. Anyway, boom. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I don't have a real heart for crows. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, and I'm not a hunter, so don't write me letters, all right? But you know that annoying sound they make? That's the word. That's this word here. That's the word. She was following them. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the servants of the Most High God. These are the... Over and shut up. Over and over and over. And it says here in a minute, she did this for many days. Now, why did I say it's not what she was saying, but the way she was saying it that's so important? She was making Christianity look so foolish. Who would possibly want to follow those people? Here's your next tactic of the enemy. He will try to make Christianity look so foolish, nobody wants to be a part of it. Just watch Christian TV for a while. I'm sorry if that hits a nerve. I think there are some legitimate guys on there, but I see a lot of people that I believe are moved by the enemy. And I believe it is demonic when I see how foolish, how they act, what they wear, what they do. I go, this is not you, Lord. This is making Christianity look foolish. It's a mockery of the true church, and it gets me upset. I can't even watch it long. My blood pressure, I'm sure, goes up if I was to monitor it. But what they're saying is, these are the servants of the Most High God. It's the way they're doing it, you see. And anybody sees that, why would they want to become a part of the church? Why would they want to join with us? So understand, the enemy will look for ways to make Christianity look foolish. Pay no attention to it. Paul begins to recognize this, and we're going to see that he does recognize it. But this is another thing I want to point out. There's another tactic of the enemy that I think is going on right now. Some of you guys are getting messed with by the enemy. He's trying to get you not to listen. He's trying to get you not to pay attention. He's trying to distract you because he doesn't want you to hear the word of God. So the question is, Mark, you mean to tell me that the demonic realm goes to church? Absolutely. Remember Jesus in the synagogue? Well, who cried out? The demonic realm cried out while Jesus was there in the synagogue. There's the Lord, your pastor that day, Jesus, God in the human form. Demons still were there. They were there because they wanted to distract. And the Lord said, be quiet and come out. And many people were set free, even in the synagogues, by the Lord because the demons were attending the fellowship. So what I see, you know, the problem today, and really the sad thing to me, is I don't think many people realize that the demonogram is very active, probably even in this room right now, in some form and fashion. And the sad thing is, I think a lot of demons go to church more than some Christians. Secondly, notice, again, in proclaiming the truth, you have to realize that Satan also, not only in the way that he does it, but I want to point another tactic of the enemy out. For those of you that are taking notes, if you are, he will say partial truth and then twist it. Now, what she was saying was true, but with Satan in the wilderness, remember with Jesus, he said partial truth, but then twisted it. Now, how you could think you could get away with tricking Jesus, I don't know. Right? But Satan tried it. Oftentimes, the enemy will tell us things, and he'll even use scripture to do it. But guys, we have to make sure it's in context, and we have to make sure that it's in the spirit that God's giving us. I've heard the word of God before. You know, you think, well, that's got to be God. Well, you know what? Don't be so sure. Make sure that it lines up with what it's saying in context, and make sure what spirit. You know, the scripture tells us, and again in 1 John, test the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. And so she was speaking the truth here, as we said, but it was wrong. And then sometimes he'll speak partial truth, which is another tactic, and it's wrong as well. And lastly, notice it says that she did this for many days. I mean, she's following them around, crying out, these are the servants. Look at verse 18. And this she did for many days. So the Bible tells us she was doing this as they were traveling, again, making them look silly, making them look weird, making people not want to be involved in the church. And notice, I love this, Paul now, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you, in the name of Jesus, come out of her. Now, I like to add kind of an exasperation to that. I don't know that he was that way. Paul just probably said, I command you in the name of Jesus, come out of her, and it was a done deal.
The New Testament book of Acts may sound like a simple Sunday school lesson, but it's so much deeper and richer than that. This book consists of remarkable men and women who risked and even lost their lives for the sake of Christ and his salvation. They got it. They came to a realization that nothing in this life would offer them something better than what Jesus had freely given them. They couldn't help but proclaim what he'd done for anyone who would hear. They even counted it joy when they were persecuted for the sake of Christ. What an example for us to look at, and to be in awe that we can be warriors for Christ as well, in our own sphere of influence. If what you're doing is for Christ and helping the gospel progress, then it's worth it, no matter the cost or loss of earthly things. If some of this sounds unappealing to you, we'd be happy to talk with you and pray about what's weighing on you related to what you've heard. You're welcome to give our church office a call at 865-609-1385. Again, that's 865-609-1385. If you're in the Knoxville area, please come and join us at Calvary Knoxville. Go to thewaymedia.net and find the link at the bottom of the homepage to get service times and directions. If you'd like to hear more teachings from this series, you'll find them in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app. Pastor Mark has more to share next time, so join us again as we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.